Thing that I'm pretty sure about all of my friends is that they like Easter. They may like it for different reasons, but I've never actually seen anybody complain about Easter. Sorry, look at that. Let there be light. People don't complain about Easter. They're always happy when Easter's coming up. Now, as I said, it could be for different reasons. For some people, it could be it's holidays, and that's what Easter means for them. And it's just great to get those holidays. And you can understand that. Everyone likes holidays. I do. I love holidays. Maybe if you're a student at university, which I take it most of us would fit into that category, you really like Easter because it's that time that you've been, throughout the first part of the term, you've been putting off work and putting it off and you say, no, Easter's coming up. Do you still do that? When I was at uni, we used to do that. We'd say, oh, Easter's coming up and that's when I'll catch up with everything. And so you can keep putting off and then Easter comes and you don't do any work and then you go, oh no, what do I do now? So it's a good place to catch up on assignments. My children love Easter just for the eggs, and I should admit I like the chocolate eggs too. I'm a bit of a chocolate fan. I actually went through Bible college with a bloke who didn't like chocolate, which is a sort of weird thing. Not that everyone at Bible college was like that. But my kids love chocolate eggs, and you go into the supermarkets and there's just glittering foil everywhere, and the kids spot it out. Even before you even explain it to them what it is, they already know what it is. That's just you built into kids, I don't know. But for Christians, Easter is the traditional time of remembering and celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's a time for remembering and celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus. And while Easter may mean different things for different people, and it may mean one of those for you, the holidays or the catch-up or whatever, today we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about Easter. What does the Bible make about the death and the resurrection of Jesus? Because if you really want to understand Jesus and you really want to find out what Christianity is about, then I want to say the Bible is the place to go. Because if you don't go to the Bible, then you're in the danger of just going off on somebody else's opinion. But when you actually sit down and look at the Bible, well then, that's God speaking to you himself. That's the apostles of Christ telling you what Jesus was about. And so that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be looking at these parables of the kingdom of heaven. Now, why are we looking at the kingdom of heaven here? Well, When Jesus came to earth, his job was to establish, one of his tasks was to establish the kingdom of heaven, to establish heaven itself, to bring about heaven for people. We saw that he brought heaven to people when he would heal somebody. Somebody would get a taste of heaven when Jesus walked past. Somebody would get a taste of heaven when a demon had been cast out of somebody. That was a taste of heaven where righteousness and wholeness and forgiveness would come about. And that was all around Jesus. But it was Jesus' death and resurrection that ultimately brought the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus died and rose again. It was to bring about the kingdom of God, to bring heaven, to make it possible so that people like sinners like you and I could go to heaven. That was the chief work of Jesus. And so when we think about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God or heaven, however you're going to describe it, it's used, the phrase is used interchangeably in the Bible, we see that it's all to do with Jesus. And finding heaven has all got to do with finding Jesus and seeing what Jesus is about. And so as we look at these parables about the kingdom of heaven, they're actually going to show us motives and ideas which tell us how we should think about Jesus and what he's done. Let's have a look at one of those now. The first one, verse 44. This is a happy man. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Let me just explain the situation a bit. Here's a man who's not looking for anything in particular. He doesn't own the field. He's probably an employee who's possibly gathering crops off the field. We're not sure, but he doesn't own the field. He's just out in the field one day and he's not looking for anything and he happens to come across some buried treasure. Now you might think, oh, buried treasure, yeah, you know, Captain Bligh on the good ship, whatever. And, you know, it'd be nice to find buried treasure. But buried treasure actually was quite common at that time. Because if you heard news of an invading army coming, you would get out of the place quickly. That's just what you'd do. And the hordes of wild blokes come down to sack your village, you would get out, you have to leave quickly. And you wouldn't be able to carry big boxes of gold or something, and so rich people would often bury their treasure when invading armies would come. They'd go out in their fields, bury them, and then they would hope that the army is going to leave sometime, they'll be able to come back later on once things have settled down and get the treasure. So to find treasure wasn't an impossible thing. This bloke finds his treasure and he's overjoyed. Now, have you ever found money? You ever found some money? One day I was walking down the street, my wife going out for a walk. It was a really windy day. I'm just like blazing wind, blowing like crazy. And 20 bucks came flying down the road. I just went, bang! And I got it. I said, 20 bucks. I was really happy. And I looked around. I actually went around to everybody in that whole area I could find. Nobody owned it. I've actually heard stories about people who have found cases of money. Sometimes, you know, $15,000. And so they've got the money. Wow, this is unreal. They take it to the police station. They give it to the police. And the police say, right, in a certain period of time, you can come back, and if no one's claimed it, it's yours. Now, if that happened to you, you had $15,000, and you were waiting for the police to give you the call to say, yeah, it's yours, do you think you'd be happy about it? I tell you, mate, you would. It'd be fantastic. Now, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like this great treasure. Now, what does he mean? Well, as I said before, as Jesus is the one who brings the kingdom, I think one of the great treasures, and there are many treasures that he could be outlining here, many aspects to the kingdom that he could be looking at, but one of the great treasures of the kingdom of heaven is the death of the king. The death of the king. Why is that a great treasure? Well, have a look in 1 Peter 3:18. If you're not sure where that is, ask somebody beside you. I'm sure they'll help you. It's up right near the end of the Bible. I'll just make sure you've all got it. All right, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Now, this is one of the great treasures of heaven. This is one of the great treasures of Christianity, the death of Jesus that we remember at Easter time. Why is it such a treasure? Well, you see here, it's a treasure because Christ, when he died, he just didn't die because of a political situation that got out of hand. He just didn't die because enough people could gang up against him. He died for sins. You see that? Christ died for sins once and for all. That is, that our sins that we commit through our life and that we continue to commit, Christ died for those once and for all. The Bible actually says that God takes our sin very seriously, and that the way we live is very important to God, and that God is going to hold us accountable for the way we live. Now, since we sin and God's going to hold us accountable for the way we live, this means we need to have something done about our sins. We need forgiveness for our sins. Now, how do you get that forgiveness? Well, we see here that this forgiveness of God comes about through the death of Jesus, because Christ died for those sins. The judgment of God that you deserve for your sins, Christ took. Now, why did he do that? Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous, that's Jesus, for the unrighteous, that's us. So Jesus, the righteous, died for the unrighteous. He died in our place. And why did he do that? Look at the verse. To bring you to God. That's the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. The death of Jesus that brings you to God. The death of Jesus that pays for your sins and brings about a peace between you and God, so that you can pray and stand and know that you are right before God. Not because of what you've done, but because Christ has paid for your sins once and for all. Sometimes my wife and I we'll have a little disagreement about something. We don't often have arguments about things, but sometimes we do. And I don't like those times. And one of the things that I know in that situation is that I need to go and fix it up. I can either be a gutless male, a gutless husband, and just say nothing and just let the situation stew. Or I can do what the Bible wants their husbands to do, and that is to go and say, look, let's sort this out. I'm sorry for doing this, or let's work this through. Now, you probably know something like that in the relationships within your life. Now, sometimes when something's wrong between two people, it needs to be fixed up. Well, that's what the death of Jesus does between us and God. Because we're sinners, because we rebel against God, things aren't good. Things aren't the way they should be. But the death of Jesus turns aside God's judgment from us, brings about God's forgiveness through us by Jesus taking that sin in our place. And it's free. Just as this bloke found this money and it was free to him, so too the death of Jesus for you is free. It's a free gift. You've just got to come and take it. You've got to give it your all once you've got it. But it's a free gift, just like finding money. It's not that, as Mike was saying before, it's not that we have to go around doing religious ceremonies or going on pilgrimages or doing various things to get it. It's just the gift of Christ given to us. And that's the real Easter present. That's the real present of Easter, that God gave his Son to pay for our sin so that we can be forgiven by God. Now, you may be like this man. Maybe a friend of yours has dragged you along to Focus today. I don't know everyone here today. Maybe you've seen the A-board and you've come along. And you weren't really looking for the things of God, but a friend's just dragged you along, and now you're just sitting in this room and here's this bloke talking about it. Well, I hope that you'll find Jesus today. I hope that you will take some time to look at what he's done and find this treasure. Because the treasure of Jesus' death is one of the greatest treasures that Christians have. It's the whole basis of their relationship before God. It's the whole basis of their joy before God, knowing that God loves them so much that he sent Jesus for them. It's a real joy, and if today is your first time at seeing this treasure, then I want to say consider it a great treasure. And have a good look at how great this treasure is. Let's look at the second bloke here. Another happy man. Whoops, let's go back to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. Again, The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, this guy is very different to the man we just looked at before. The first bloke just stumbled across it, but this guy is looking for it. This guy is a seeker. Now, are you a seeker? Are you someone who's seeking the things of God? He's wanting to know the things of God. Maybe you're more like this guy. This bloke knew what he was after. He was a merchant and he was looking for pearls. And he was looking for great pearls. And when he found this great pearl, he sold everything else he had to get this one. Now, I take it that buying pearls is something that most of us probably aren't used to. But you can imagine it with, say, an art collector. You may even collect some art yourself. Imagine if you're an art collector and you've got some famous paintings by some Australians, some famous paintings by someone from New Zealand. And you've collected these paintings, but then one day you meet the right person and he actually makes you an offer so that you can actually afford to buy the Mona Lisa. And so you actually go and sell all of your New Zealand paintings and all of your Australian paintings. You sell all those because now you can get the Mona Lisa, you know, what's recognised as one of the most famous paintings of the world. And so you happily get rid of everything else to get the Mona Lisa. Well, that's sort of what this guy's like. He gives up everything. Now, how is the kingdom of heaven, how is the things of Jesus like this great pearl? Again, there are many aspects to Jesus and the kingdom of heaven which are like a great pearl. But the one I want us to think about today at Easter time is Jesus' resurrection. Because it is truly a great pearl, greater than any other pearl. Let's think about Jesus' resurrection. What actually happened when Jesus was raised from the dead? What makes it so great? Well, one of the things that all religions talk about in various ways is eternal life. That is, being free from the pain and the suffering of death. And so Islam and Buddhism in its own way, Christianity, has the idea of eternal life. Now, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he actually was raised in eternal life. If you wanted to see what eternal life looked like, it wasn't a vague concept. It was Jesus resurrected, because he was raised in eternal life. He wasn't going to die again. It's not that when Jesus rose from the dead, he then lived for a little while and then died somewhere else. He actually, when he rose from the dead, rose to live forever. He was eternal life. And because Jesus is eternal life, he can give you that eternal life. And this is why I think Jesus is a greater pearl than any other pearl. If we look at, say, Muhammad or Buddha or other people who've claimed that they can show you the way, I want to say that Jesus shows the way better, because he not only said this is the way, he actually demonstrated that he had the end product. See, if you want to have eternal life, if you want to have life with God, you want to follow someone who can show it to you. Now, Muhammad and Buddha and anyone else you want to add to that list died and are buried and are still buried to this day. But Jesus is different to all of them in that he is eternal life. He's now living in the resurrection himself, and he can give that to you, and he's a greater pearl than any other pearl. And if you've been seeking the life of God, if you want to know God's way and you want to know how to get eternal life, how to be free from this world of pain and death, then I want to say look at the pearl of Jesus, because his resurrection shows the eternal life of God in a way that nobody else ever has. Jesus is the great pearl. So if you've been searching, then I want to say you can stop your searching at Jesus. Let me just read to you from Matthew 14. Matthew 14 verse 6. Just write this down. If you're a quick flicker, you can look it up, but if not, I'm not going to give you time. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's Jesus' own words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is saying, I am the life. I am the resurrection life. I am eternal life. And that no one comes to God but by me. Jesus is the pearl above all pearls. He's the great one for which we should give up everything to obtain. Now we see here there are two responses to Jesus. Let's go back to Matthew 13. Two responses. And this is actually the first response we're going to look at is the reason I wanted to do this at Easter, because I think this is a classic Easter response that we get here. Look at Matthew 13, verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogues, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters here with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they took offence at him. Now that's pretty hard to believe, isn't it? That Jesus could go back to his hometown, to the people who knew him, and that they would actually reject him. That they'd say, well, all this wisdom that he talks about, which was wise, we've been seeing that in these last few weeks at Focus with the teaching of Jesus, and his powers that we've seen. Jesus was impressive, but these people couldn't accept Jesus. They wouldn't accept him. These were people from his hometown, and I think they just said, we know all about this bloke. He can't be that good. We know all about him. Now, I think that this is how Jesus is for most Australians. Because haven't most people grown up with Jesus in some way? Who's gone to, just show of hands, who's been to a Sunday school or scripture lesson or something like that? Show of hands? Most people. So you've grown up with Jesus. Jesus is your hometown prophet. He's the one you've grown up with. And don't people today say, I know all about Jesus. I know him. I know his mum, I know his dad, I know all about Jesus. In our own way, the people of Australia say, I know Jesus. I'd rather have a crystal than Jesus. Because I know all about Jesus. I'd rather have something different, something new. Something that I don't know about. You see, I think for many of us, we've grown up with Jesus, and the things of Jesus are not our treasure. We've just grown up with him, we've heard him, we've grown up with him at school, at Sunday school, wherever it is, and the things of Jesus, we just say, oh, he's our hometown prophet, anyone can have that, he's nobody. He's just one amongst many. And Jesus is not our treasure. See, what is your treasure? Is the death and the resurrection of Jesus, is Jesus your treasure? Or is it uni? Is uni your treasure, the focus of your life? Or is your car your treasure? Maybe it's your boyfriend, or your computer, or your clothes, or your CD collection. Are these the real treasures of your life? Well, let's have a look at another response of people here. Well, these are the men in the parables themselves. Look at verse 44. When a man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold everything he had and bought the field. And we see that with both of those people, don't we? That they both go and sell everything they have to go and grab hold of the kingdom of God above everything else. That is, they're taking the things of Jesus seriously. And that's what I want to challenge us today. Are you taking the things of Jesus seriously? Do you take the kingdom of God seriously? Or is it just, I've grown up with Jesus, he's a nice bloke, but I wouldn't take him that seriously. I'm not going to take my hometown prophet that seriously. You know, I didn't put a scale here, but imagine if on the outline there's plenty of space on the right-hand side. How about just between you and God, you put a scale? Do any of your lecturers sometimes put out those forms, and you've got to put on a scale how good each of the different facets of the class were, you know, versus one, number, you know, one is not very good, five is really good. And so, you know, the lecturer gets you to fill in the numbers, 1 to 5, and to grade all these different things. I just want you to grade yourself. Say on a scale between 1 to 5, how serious would you see your own life being for Jesus? I just have to think of a number between one. Pick a number between 1 and 5. How serious would you see? Like these men here, when they found the kingdom of God, they sold everything. They sold all their pearls. He sold all of his treasures. He sold all his money because he knew that what he was going to get in Jesus was better than anything else. Maybe it's time you took Jesus seriously. And I want to say that you can do that today. Today is the day to take Jesus seriously. Today is the day to pray to God and say, God, I've been really slack with you. I've been like someone who says that they play the guitar and I'm a musician, but I just never practice. I just never actually learn how to play the instrument, but I've got the instrument, I carry it around with me. Or else maybe you're like someone who's into martial arts, into Hapkido, and you've got the uniform, you've got the white belt that you put around, or black belt, maybe if you want to cheat, you get a black belt, you put it around you, but you just never go to any training. And so you just live in this daydream of being a martial arts expert, the karate kid, but you never actually do the training. And so is that like your Christian life? So that you wear the martial arts outfit, or you carry the guitar and say you're a musician or a martial artist, but you never actually do anything. There's no difference between you and anyone else. So are you serious? Because today's the day to be serious for Jesus. Today's the day to be serious for Jesus. Today's the day to take Jesus seriously and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to start living for you. I'm going to be a serious disciple. Now, why do we need to do this? We need to do it because of this parable that Jesus tells in 47. And I'll finish up here. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into a lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that is Jesus telling you what's going to happen in the future. And what he says is that when the fulfillment of heaven comes, there's going to be an end of the age, first of all, when the fulfillment of heaven comes. See that? At the end of the age, he talks about in verse 49. This is how it will be at the end of the age. That is when heaven finally comes. And what's going to happen? Well, not everyone goes to heaven. That's what he clearly says there, isn't it? This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. Not everyone goes to heaven. It's not a nice message, but that is the message that Jesus is saying there. That when God's day of judgment comes, the angels are going to gather people together like people fish gathered in a net. Some will go to heaven, some will go to hell. This is why it matters about Easter. And this is why Easter matters so much, because none of us are righteous. How do you become one of the righteous? How can you become one of the righteous so that when God's day comes, you will be part of heaven? Well, you'll be part of heaven if you make heaven part of you now. If you come to Jesus now and trust in what he's done for you. If you come to the King of Heaven, Jesus. If you, as we looked at with his death on the cross, if you trust in Jesus, then his death on the cross will make you righteous, will make you holy and blameless before God. That's why it matters. That's why we need Easter. Because God has promised a day where we're going to be held accountable for the way we live. And without the death of Jesus bringing forgiveness for our sins, we'll go to hell. That's what Jesus is saying there. And that's why I want you to treat the death and resurrection of Jesus as a great treasure, as they really are. That's my hope for everyone here today. To treat the death and resurrection of Jesus, to treat Jesus as a great treasure. And that's why you've got this. This is the next step. If you want to take another step, you want to say, yes, I want to do this, fill in this card now. We've got plenty of time. It's only 10:02.